Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Football Daily on Off the Ball.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, from joy to despair in Liverpool on the day the Premier League champions had their victory parade. Ireland's new recruit is ready to impress if called upon, and Carlo Ancelotti hasn't taken long to settle in with Brazil. But first of those horrific scenes from Liverpool. It was meant to be a day of celebration for Liverpool fans who were unable to have a parade in 2020 due to COVID restrictions. A police cordon remains in place after a car rammed into crowds celebrating Liverpool's Premier League win yesterday. It happened on Water Street at around 6 p.m, about 10 minutes after the Liverpool bus had gone by. Dozens of people were injured at the parade. 27 are being treated in hospital. 4 children are among the 27. 20 other people were treated at the scene in the city centre. A 53-year-old local man has been arrested. Officers are treating it as an isolated incident and not terror-related. Liverpool City Region Mayor Steve Rotherham says that there are still 4 people who are very, very ill. Witnesses call the scenes frantic and say members of the crowd tried to stop the car. Liam Robinson is the leader of the Liverpool City Council.
It's cast a very dark shadow over what had been a joyous day and the finale to a fabulous bank holiday weekend. Liverpool is a city that has a proud history of supporting each other during challenging times.
Kenny Dalglish and Jurgen Klopp, 2 former league winning managers, Liverpool were among those to express their shock. Both were at the parade yesterday. Off the Ball's Nathan Murphy was also there, and he joined Off the Ball Breakfast this morning to describe what it was like in the streets of Liverpool throughout the day.
I was looking back at some of the videos I'd taken, and the Liverpool bus goes by at 5:45 at pretty much exactly 5:45, and like around then was just, you know, the entire city was singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" in unison together as the bus goes past. Like this outrageous level of emotion and outpouring of joy from everybody. But the second the bus went by, everybody was going straight back home because it had been torrential rain all day in Liverpool. Everyone was soaked through. So I started walking back up Water Street with thousands upon thousands of other people, but it was moving slowly. I think everybody understood the sheer volume of people that were there. Nobody was rushing. There was nobody pushing. There was no crushing, anything like that. And I'd left my equipment in a hotel just the next street over. So peeled across in there at about 5:50. I took video actually just right where the incident had happened at about 5:50, 10 minutes beforehand. And you can see the sort of scale of the crowd that is there. And to hear the news then filter through just a few minutes later that a car had gone through this crowd, like to give the only comparison I could give of, like this would be like a car driving down the Joneses Road 10 minutes after the All-Ireland final. Like that is how packed the streets of Liverpool were in the minutes after the parade.
Nathan also spoke to some witnesses shortly after the incident.
I was talking to a couple of lads from Dublin who were sort of wandering around at the police cordon about an hour afterwards, and they were on the street. They were almost hit and they were just shell-shocked. One of them said to me it had gone in the matter of moments from being the best day of his life to the worst day of his life. And the picture they were painting was a horrific one. And listen, the picture is there for everybody to see. I'm sure people have watched the videos online at this stage of what happened. And it's just inexplicable that something like that could happen so soon after the end of the parade.
Erin Healy says she's ready to bring her club form into the Ireland squad if called upon. The US-born striker is part of Carlo Ward's squad for the Nations League doubleheader against Turkey and Slovenia. The girls in green play Turkey this Friday in Istanbul and then finish the campaign with a game against group leader Slovenia at Porky Cueve next Tuesday. Erin Healy's coming off the back of an impressive season with Adelaide United in the A-League. She scored 8 goals and was named the team's player of the year, and she qualifies through her Clonus-born grandfather.
Through my grandfather coming from Ireland to the US and everything, Ireland and the Irish heritage have always been part of who I am, who my family is. And up when I was in college, my college coach just asked a lot of our players if any of us had dual citizenship. And so I asked my mom and see what that looked like. And she was already just collecting documents ready for that. And then we got my citizenship. And then ever since then, it's kind of just been my goal to play for this team and be a part of it.
And Healy was asked what she'll bring to the squad.
Yeah, I think I just want to get my foot in the door and get comfortable. I've already been welcomed from the girls and from the coaching staff, and it's a great group of people. And so I think I feel comfortable and I'm ready to put my best foot forward and hopefully get some playing time, but you never know, whatever is needed of me. I think I just like to be involved in a lot of the play and I like to be creative. I think I'm really inconsistent in the way I play, and I guess not inconsistent, but you know, I'm hard to read. So I give a defender just a lot to defend against. And so I think that's what you guys can be expected of me.
England goalkeeper Mary Earps has announced her shock retirement from international football just 5 weeks before the European Championship in Switzerland. The 32-year-old was part of the England team that won the Euros in 2022, and she played in the World Cup final loss to Spain a year later. Earps had recently lost her place as number one in Serena Wiegmann's side to Hannah Hampton. She made 53 appearances over 8 years for England, but says it's the right time for her to step aside and give the younger generation an opportunity to thrive. Brazil's new manager Carlo Ancelotti has recalled a number of players for his first squad, but he's left out the fit again Neymar. Ancelotti will take charge of Brazil next month for the first time in the World Cup qualifiers against Ecuador and Paraguay. The former Real Madrid boss has included Manchester United midfielder Casemiro and Tottenham forward Richarlison in his 25-man squad. And there's also a recall for United winger Anthony, who's been in superb form on loan at Real Betis. He'll feature for the Spanish side against Chelsea on Wednesday night in the Conference League final. Cristiano Ronaldo teased his departure from Saudi Arabian club Al Nassr just half an hour after their final game of the season. In a short statement on social media, Ronaldo wrote, "This chapter is over. The story? Still being written. Grateful to all." And it was alongside a picture of him wearing the Al Nassr strip. The 40-year-old moved to the Saudi Pro League at the end of 2022. He earns €200 million a year. Last week, FIFA president Gianni Infantino claimed discussions were happening over a move which would allow Ronaldo to feature at the Club World Cup this summer, even though Al Nassr failed to qualify for the tournament. And Napoli are confident of completing a deal to sign Kevin De Bruyne. The 33-year-old played his last game for Manchester City on Sunday. They didn't offer him a new deal. Napoli were crowned Italian champions last Friday. That's about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. Remember to subscribe in your podcast feed to keep this podcast coming to you every weekday free of charge. I'm Phil Egan and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
The Football Daily on Off the Ball.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Daily. A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
It's like the Scooby-Doo meme where it's Ange Postecoglou to take off the mask and then suddenly it's Jose Mourinho. Wouldn't it be funny if Ange Postecoglou's future is now entirely Park the Bus football and this was all a ruse all along?
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
We'll give us your back four. Or is it back four? Is it back five? Is it back three?
I've gone 5-3-2. So I've gone Joey Nang in goal. I've got Danny Grant at right wing back. I think he's been absolutely exceptional. I was kind of going to go with him or Sua from Galway. I've got Keeley, Pico Lopez and Gretton from Bowes in the middle. And then I've got Honan as a left wing back. And then the two in front of them are Healy at Shamrock Rovers. I think he's been excellent since he's come in. He's got the most amount of passes and accurate passes in the game. Michael Duffy beside him, Graham Burke, Owen Elding and Moses Dyer up top.
Okay, Moses Dyer, top scorer in the league at the moment. So is he in your team as well?
Moses Dyer, yeah.
Yeah.
Luke Denison in goal. His double save against Bowes definitely puts him in there for me. After 8 clean sheets as well this season. Connor Healy, Lopez, right back his own Lamb. Left back is Josh.
Okay, so you've gone for back four.
Yeah. Ryan Brennan in the middle with Jack Byrne and Graham Bork. And then my top three would be Warren Davis, Moses Dyer and Owen Eldon.
Why is Jack Byrne not in your team, Barry?
Most assists as well, I think, this year in the league.
I just look at Michael Duffy and I think he's been absolutely phenomenal. I'm trying to bat around a bit as well. I think he might be too biased to Rovers, but the stuff he's doing, he's been on his own. He's pulled Derry up that league, and I think just him sitting in that kind of central position, Honan going outside him, I think he'd be formidable in there. And you just look at the kind of front three nearly picked themselves for me. Graham Burke in behind Elding and Dyer. I think that'd be an unstoppable front three.
League of Ireland Late Night in partnership
with Rockshore on Off the Ball.
The last corner in the 92nd minute, pretty sure he rose highest, cleared it. Like,
well, if Daniel Kelly won that header, you clip that and you save that in the Shelbourne folklore for everyone to see, because I've never seen him win a header. He's 6'1" and he jumps 5'4".
Join me, Cameron Hill, on League of Ireland Late Night every Friday night at 10 on Twitter Spaces.